Brad, good afternoon to you. Thank you for being on board. Glad to have you with us here on what's turned out to be a very nice day on the outside. 48 degrees as the sun sets here in the Blue Ridge Mountains. We appreciate you being with us. Hope that you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. Hope that the Lord blessed you, whether you had folks in or not. I hope that you had health and blessing and a time to just to rejoice and thank God for His goodness and for His grace. Thank you for being on board. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Our telephone number is 577-1296 if you'd like to text in. And then if you would like to, and I think my text line's working. Let me verify that. Haven't had any lately, so it always scares me whenever that happens. And I guess that's right. Anyway, the 577-1296, and then our voice line is 828-884-9427. I got it. Thank you for got the test. So thank you. Yeah, and a fairly decent afternoon on the way home. Only a couple of things to tell you about, and it's not bad at all. Matter of fact, very light. And I don't know if long holiday, I don't know what it is, but it's very light today. Except if you're in downtown Asheville trying to go west, it's a little longer wait than usual. Traffic running slower through the Bowcatcher Cut. And somebody asked me the other day, what's the Bowcatcher Cut? Anybody knows what that is? You may remember where the Bowcatcher Tunnel is at? Well, it used to be to go to West Asheville, you had to go through the tunnel to get to West Asheville, East Asheville to go to Black Mountain. You had to go through the tunnel. Well, they came through there and actually cut Bowcatcher Mountain, made that great big cut, and put 240 through there. Well, that's the Bowcatcher Cut, all right, beside Bowcatcher Tunnel. And so this afternoon, we're backed up down past Chun's Cove. It's off the pace down through there and very busy going west on 240 around Asheville. The other bad thing that I saw this afternoon is the gorge, and it's because of continued construction there. And the backup today is from just beyond 276 there at Maggie Valley, and it backs all the way up to Iron Duff, back to the Pilot truck stop there on 209. So, yeah, that's how far back it is. So anyway, that's the traffic this afternoon. Everything else that I'm looking at, as I check the far west and as I look around, everything else seems to be in pretty good shape here, just from what I can see. And I was going to give you this. I don't know if I've, as a matter of fact, the first time I've seen it. You know, when they got the roundabout opened in Pisgah Forest, they closed the bypass from between 64 and Acosta Road. Well, that is still closed, and it is now scheduled, according to the icon, they're going to open one side of it, apparently, until late December, and then December the 30th, actually, and then the other side of it, coming from Acosta Road back up to 64, is closed until early January. Now, that's, again, what the icons that are posted by DMV are telling me. So, but it is going to come to a conclusion sooner or later. And I think a lot of the paving is done. And, you have to have, the DMV will not let you pave if it's below a certain temperature. And so you have to have decent temperatures for that to happen, for you to be able to pave. All right, let me quickly look and see. We've got our normal slowdowns in Greenville on both sides of Pelham Road on I-85 north and south. And fairly slow down around the Motor Mile today as we're going south. And then around 291 as you're going north. And then around the split there at 185 and 85. That's a little bit slow right there. So anyway, that's what we can see from where we're sitting. If always the best thing is hands-on, eyes-on traffic. If you see something, make sure you holler at us and let us know. We'll be glad to pass that on, okay? All right. Thank you so much. Let's look at some temperatures right quick. We're looking at 52 degrees at Asheville. That was as of 6 minutes before the hour of 5 o'clock. It was a little north-northwest wind today, 14. That has caused it to feel a little cooler than it actually has been. And so, and it's also the humidity's up a little bit. It's like 59% humidity today. So that is that gives us a little more of a cool feel. You heard people talk like it, you know, say, well, it feels like it's going to rain or it feels like it's going to snow. That's what that's about. Yeah, it's feeling that. And so weatherman says that we're going to have, because that humidity's up, we're going to have patchy fog tonight, low around 36. For tomorrow, patchy fog early and then sunny 57. By Tuesday night, we start getting a good chance of showers, about a 90% chance. And then that diminishes on Wednesday from 80% down to 50%. And I was trying to see where that's coming from tonight. I was looking to see what system that is that's coming. And as of right now, I don't see where it's coming from. Okay, not sure. But anyway, they say it's coming. So if you are in Tennessee, and we have some folks over in Tennessee, there is a high wind warning, and it is in effect for all of the easternmost counties of East Tennessee that touch the Smoky Mountains. And there's a high wind warning for that side. The rain should finish up by Wednesday afternoon, clear out Wednesday night, dropping to below freezing, and then 50 on Thursday, sunshine. And we're going to see reasonable temperatures, 50s, not as warm as it has been, but 50s and upper 20s to 30s. And we are looking like now some more precipitation for the weekend. It's not a rain out, but it does look like precipitation coming in late Saturday. Well, actually, it may start during the day, and then there's a chance late in the evening, 30%, and then that's, but the temperatures will stay moderate to where there's no ice or anything involved, 40s and 40s at night, 50s in the day. And so we're looking at about 30%, 40%, 40%, 40% till Monday. So the whole weekend has got a chance of showers in it as it stands not right now. But I will say this, we are still very warm for this time of the year. And I, for one, am not complaining about it, okay? Not at all. I'm not complaining. I actually am enjoying it. The 28th day of the month of November, the general operating budget of Anchor Broadcasting being sponsored by James & James Environmental, praying for the Lord's blessing on the people who listen to WGCR all over the world. And we appreciate James & James Environmental, and they do our water testing here. And they have supported us in so many different areas. And during disaster, they did wells. They inspected wells for us that were overtopped by flood water. They did disinfecting. They did all kinds of work and wouldn't even charge for it. I mean, just great public service. And back the rally we had back in the fall, they were here, had a booth. Appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. The network budget today is sponsored by Tim and Carolyn Masterson. It's in memory of their infant children, Charlotte and Victoria, who are home in heaven. Charlotte's birthday was October the 30th, 2015, and Victoria's was November the 26th, 2020. And they look forward to the joy of joining them in heaven one day. And little Victoria just lived a few days and died, and we had her service just over here, and it was quite moving. And so, we appreciate the Mastersons and appreciate them remembering these little girls today, certainly. And I saw something that happened that was just different. the children, the brothers and sisters, handed out white balloons at the funeral, and the children released them, and then all the congregation released their balloons. And all balloons kind of went up together and kind of went up, almost clumped up together, and then they just kind of faded off in the distance. But one balloon, it wasn't hung in a tree, nothing. It went right straight up and hovered. I took a picture of it. It just sat there, up over looking down at us, just hovered. And someone said, well, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't know what that means. But I thought that was very interesting that that one balloon just stood there and hovered for the longest time. And, yeah, I thought that was quite unique while we closed the grave. That balloon sat there as if it was a sentry and watched. And then it left. It was quite something. Yeah. Well, let me mention that we are doing the Brevard Christmas Parade this coming Saturday, and it's at 4 p.m. And we will be calling it. We'll be located up at Elders Motors in downtown Brevard and be calling the Christmas Parade. It'll be live on all the channels. And then we'll also have a float in the Rosman Parade on Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. All right. Well, we have birthdays today, both of them here in the ministry, Missionary Jeremy Martin. Now, the thing about it is, it is already tomorrow where he's at. So his birthday was yesterday, according to where he's at. It's already the 29th in Mongolia. It's this time of the morning in Mongolia right now. But he had a birthday on the 28th, and so we salute Brother Jeremy. He's doing a great job, he and his wife. We love and appreciate them out of ABMI and Anchor Baptist. And then Miss Brianna Riley, and she is a missionary product. She was saved on the mission field. She was born in an Inupiaq Eskimo village of about 300. And through the missionary efforts of the Youngbloods from here out of Anchor, Bethany and Brianna both got saved. They came down, went to school. Bethany has gone back as the postmaster of Kiana, Alaska. And Brianna remains here with us, and so and is on staff here, and so we love and appreciate her and congratulate her on her birthday today. All right, my computer was froze up just a minute ago, but I believe they've got it loosened up here. Let me salute, and it could be that they're listening in Kiana, because I think all of the internet actually comes out of Anchorage. So I've got Anchorage on board this afternoon. Got Ann Arbor, Arden, Belmont, New Hampshire is with us. I've got Birmingham, Boca Raton, got a lot of Brevards today. Charlotte, Ennis, Fort Mill, Franklin. I got Gordon, Nebraska, but I believe that internet that feeds the Pine Ridge Lakota Sioux Reservation is based there out of Gordon. And so I think it's probably the reservation that's listening today. Greensboro, Greer, Hendersonville, Houston, Islamabad, Pakistan, Lexington, Kentucky, Manchester, Michigan, Morrisville, North Carolina, Nassau, New York, Plymouth, Minnesota, Queensbury, New York, Rock Hill, South Carolina, San Diego and San Jose, California, Suffolk, Virginia, Toledo, Ohio, and we have some unknowns. And I'm not sure if it'll go on down or not. I don't think that's the bottom of the list. Okay, here we go. Got folks listening in the United Kingdom. It's lit up. Got folks listening in Honduras. Got it lit up. And the country of Weaverville is listening this afternoon as well. Yeah. And so, all right, I have, look at that. Okay, I will be right back. Stay tuned. All right, and we're back this afternoon. Text line, let me go to it and share some things with you. Appreciate folks being on board. Glad to see San Antone that's with us. Thank you. Got one of our guys who is saying that today he got a a text, and it said it was from Truist, is what it said. And it said, did you attempt a $277 payment at Walmart on 11/28? It said, call, and it gives a number. It said, if it wasn't you. Well, the issue is that this is a scam, okay? And what it is, they want you to call them. And if you call them, then they fish for information, and it's a scam. So I'm particularly scared for our seniors getting emails and text from all these people. They'll say, this is your Amazon account, all of this stuff. The scammers have now figured out, and if you look at the pronunciation and if you look at some of the things, you realize that that's not what this is. Folks, put it this way. If there's something like that going on, they'll get in touch with you legitimately. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have to do anything. And I'm serious. If you didn't make a purchase or you didn't do something on a card or whatever, they'll reach out to you. They'll let you know. And I've had people say, well, how do I know that it's real? That's a very good question. You see, they want you to give them your, if they want you to tell them your number, chances are they don't have it. But if they start giving you information that only they would know, and they call you by your name, and they say this, such and such, this and this, if that happens, then it may or may not be real. But here's the one thing about it. If it's real, if you say, I need your name and a number that I can call you back at, most scammers won't do that. Okay? If you're older and you're not sure, let one of your kids fix it. Let one of your kids call it back. Don't get involved with that outfit. People are, I mean, they mean well and they're so trusting, and they prey on a generation that's simply not used to dealing with stuff like that. And they prey on them. And so there was a thing going around a couple of years ago, and this is your grandson. And the thing about it is, they would know what they called you, mommy or poppy or gramps or grammy or whatever. And they said, Grammy, this is your grandson, Nathan. Well, they got a grandson named Nathan. And they'll say, yeah, I'm in jail and I need help. Don't tell mama. Send me money. Well, what's grandma going to do? They're going to send money. It's a scam. Okay? It's a scam. Don't ever do that. Don't ever, ever, ever do that. And when they say, don't tell nobody, or don't tell mama, or don't tell nobody, that's a sure sign it's a scam. Okay? Please don't do anything like that. I had a friend who was going to buy a pocket knife, I think's what it was. And he tried to, I'm not sure what he was doing, but anyway, they basically got him. They cleaned out his checking account last week. About $4,000. Cleaned him out. And what they did, they did $999, and they did it three or four times. Boom, 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 boom. And they were trying to get it stopped, but here's the problem. If you ever give them your debit card information, they've got you. If you give out a credit card, now let me tell you the difference. The debit card is your money. Okay, it's yours. And it's your direct access to your money. And if somebody gets it, some banks have some protection. But for the most part, it is your money they're getting. And sometimes they can get it back. Sometimes they can stop the payments. Sometimes they can. But if these people are buying stuff or are at ATMs and things, they can clean you out. So a couple of things I wanted to share. Number one, don't ever keep much money in checking. Ever. Don't ever, ever, ever keep much money in checking. So I said, well, I got to pay my bills. That's all you need to keep in there. If your budget is $2,000 a month, that's how much your bills are. That's how much you keep in there. And not a dime more. And every month, you switch money over into savings. Whole lot harder to get money out of savings than it is out of a checking. Okay? Let me tell you the safest thing. Okay? So somebody said, well, I don't do debit cards. I write checks. Well, that's also dangerous in these days. Because now they can take and create a check using your check and make them look real. And they can do bogus checks. All they need is your routing number and your checking number. And here's something else. A lot of the old timers have got on their checking account, they have got their name, their physical address. A lot of people got their telephone number on there. And some people even put their Social Security numbers on their checks. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Okay, that's too much information, and somebody can steal your identity. So I said, well, I've already got a drawer full like that. Burn them. Pay the fee and get you some new ones. Burn them. Don't give that out. No. So, well, when I go to the store, they want my phone number. Well, write it on it. Write it on it. They want your driver's license. Write it on it. They don't ever should have your Social Security number. And I said it's Social Security numbers. It's your driving license. A lot of people used to put their driving license numbers on their checks because everybody wanted let me see your driver's license. Well, there it is on the check. Don't do that. Don't do that. No, don't do that. Don't give them your driver's license number. Don't give them your check. Don't give them your Social Security number. Don't give them your phone number. No. Don't do that. Name and address. And even then, be careful who you give a check to. In these days, I mean, mailing them off to your bills and stuff, that's pretty safe. But I'm talking about writing checks to people. That can get dangerous. It really can. One of the safest ways to do a check is like they do at Walmart. You write them a check, they run it through the scanner and hand you the check back. That's the safest way. That way, the only record they have is what went on that scanner. It's the safest way. But according to a program that I listened to on National Public Radio a couple of years back, this is what they said. The safest means of e-commerce or even just your regular day-to-day spending, restaurants, gas stations, the like, the safest means that you have is a credit card. And I've heard people say, well, I ain't having no credit card. Well, here's the good thing about credit cards. If you pay all of it off every month by the due date, you don't pay any interest on your purchases. You don't pay any interest on your purchases. Nope. If you pay it off each month. Now, if you get cash, they start right then. But if it's a purchase, you don't pay interest on that until it comes due. So interest is waived up until the day that the due date is. If you pay that thing off every month, if somebody got your credit card number, you're not liable for that. If somebody were to scan it or somebody gets your code or some whatever else, you're not liable for that. We've had everything from tickets to Brazil to, Lord, I don't know what and all charged to us. Wasn't real. We called them and said, look, that's not us. They would turn it over to their fraud division. They would write it off. They wouldn't charge us for it. Because it's not your money that the people are stealing. It's Visa's money. It's MasterCard's money. It's Discover's money. It's not yours. You're stealing from that company. And by the way, they tell me that Visa has got more detectives and collection agents than the IRS does. And they're good at tracking people down that commit credit card fraud. That's what I'm told. So, and they prosecute very, very heavily. People go to jail every day because of a defrauding Visa, MasterCard, and Discover, and American Express. Oh yeah, they push hard, and they get people felony sentences for stealing credit card information. They sure do. But again, it's not your money. You just pay it each month. It's not your money. So rather than using a debit card like that, I personally am not real comfortable with that, even though some banks do offer some protection. I'm still not comfortable. I've got them in the safe. And if I ever needed them, I'd go get them out. But I don't use them. I don't use my debit cards. Mm-mm. Nope, I use somebody else's money. It's just safer. We did the same thing here in the ministry. And, of course, we have people traveling the world. They're all over the world. And we have people purchasing on behalf of the ministry and expenses on behalf of travel-related things all the time. I mean, it's just common, you know, for there to be somebody out of the country. And so trying to keep receipts and trying to keep up with all that mess. And if you give somebody an open check, now it messes your checkbook up. If they lose a blank check and it's signed, what a danger that is. They could clean your checking account out. So for that reason, we have tried to be very careful about that. And so we have actually, the way we operate, we use credit cards. And we use electronic reporting, meaning that when somebody makes a transaction on behalf of the ministry, at that moment, at that point of sale, they get a paper receipt, they scan it, they shoot it into a special email that we have, and then that, and what it's for, what department it charges to, and then that is reconciled with the credit card bills each month. And for us, it's been a very safe way, especially given how much commerce we do in different currencies, in different countries, in different languages. And yet, it's not without, I mean, can it be defrauded? Absolutely, it can be defrauded. But again, nothing's foolproof. And if somebody tells you something is foolproof, watch them. Watch them. Because that's not usually the way it works. There's always a way around everything. So I will say this, the chip cards are harder to scam if it's got the chip in it. According to my brother-in-law, who is in international IT, that's what he does. That's what he does for a living, owns a company. And he said that when you use a chip, it does something. I guess the best way would be to explain it. If you went to, let's say that I go down here to Lowe's, and I go in and got that whole wall full of gift cards. So I go down to Lowe's and I buy a gift card to a restaurant. And I'm going to give that for Christmas. I pay Lowe's for that gift card. They activate that gift card with a one-time code. I, in turn, give that to somebody for Christmas. That person, when they spend that card at that restaurant never sees my credit card that I charge that gift card on. The gift card is the go-between. Does that make sense? Let me say it again. If I go down here to Lowe's and I bought a Olive Garden, for lack of thinking of whatever, an Olive Garden gift card, and it's a $20 gift card, And so I buy that, and then I put it in a Christmas card and give it to somebody. And then they spend that gift card at the restaurant sometime in the future. Olive Garden never sees the credit card that I charged that gift card on at Lowe's. When you use a chip, that's kind of what you're doing. It creates a one-time transaction number. And that chip actually is the go-between so that vital information is not interchanged back and forth. And they tell me that chip credit cards is now one of the safest things that you can do. Now, in a lot of places, you've seen them where it's chip signature. So you use the chip, and then you have to sign, right, on the pad or whatever. Did you know that in Europe, they've already passed that, and now it's chip bio, which means it's either a fingerprint, it can be a retina scan, that you look into the thing and it scans your retina, or believe it or not, it can be a vein scan of your hand. Did you know that's here locally? One of the hospitals has a vein scan that verifies you are who you are when you go in the hospital. It's spooky, but they got it. They say that everybody's veins in your hand is different. So all of this, of course, we know is leading up to the mark of the beast. We know that's where that's heading. We understand that. But there is some security, besides of the negative where it's heading, there's some security in using somebody else's money and having the chip so that you create that middleman account that sets up that one-time use count, just like a gift card, and the card goes to that, and then it's charged back to that account, and boom, that transaction is history. Yeah, seriously, it works. And like if you're going overseas, it's a difficult thing to go overseas because so many people scam your credit cards overseas. If you use a chip, then it's easier. I mean, there's more secure. Can people scan it? Can people do other things? They can. They can. Okay. And I appreciate Captain Jeremy Queen of the Transylvania County Sheriff's Office. He is weighing in this afternoon. He says, feel free to quote me. Credit cards, not debit cards, are the best for e-commerce. He said, feel free to quote me. The Transylvania County Sheriff's Department confirms, do not use your debit card when you're ordering stuff online. It's dangerous, folks. It's dangerous to carry the stinking things, but it's real dangerous to give it out. Because they can clean you out. Now, again, if you ain't got no money in there, you know. But it's hard to keep, you know, just enough for what you're spending every day. You'd have to go in every day and keep adding money back to it. But that's kind of the idea. You keep all of your money in savings. Then you transfer only what you need into checking. And I'm serious. And here's the other thing. If you did that, and you charged everything that you do to a credit card, you could move money at each, either your check goes into it, or each month you could move money out of savings for the amount of the credit card bill, and nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Think about that, please. Okay? Simplify, use cash as much as possible. Don't have a problem with that, but that's only good, you know, where you're face-to-face with people. Don't ever mail cash. No, don't mail cash. under any circumstance milk cash. Don't you ever milk cash. So I said, well, I wrap it in tinfoil. Don't mail cash, okay? I'm very serious. Please don't mail cash. It's so dangerous. We have had situations in this county of people stealing at the post office. Occurred years ago. But I know ministries that lost a great deal of money. People stealing it out of, stealing cash from little widow ladies, sending it to ministries. Now, again, that don't happen much anymore. But you think about it. If somebody, and I don't mind telling you who it was Ralph Sexton, it was Send the Light. You have a little widow and she writes with a shaky hand, and she writes Ralph Sexton, Post Office Box 333, Asheville, NC, and she puts $5 in it. Even if she puts it inside of a piece of notebook paper or puts it inside a piece of tinfoil, and she mails that, somebody who's processing the mail sees it. They figure, okay, that's somebody elderly wrote that. And last month when I opened the mail, it had money in it. So this month they opened the mail, and sure enough, it's got money in it again. And a lot of the little widows didn't file it on their taxes anyway. And so there was no record. They noticed they never got a thank you letter from Brother Sexton. Or maybe occasionally one slips through. So they do get a thank you letter. Occasionally. Thousands were stolen. Right here in Western North Carolina. That's not hearsay. That is from his ear to, that is from his mouth to my ear. I know what I'm talking about. Okay, I know what I'm talking about in that one. So, okay, just telling you. So, yeah, whatever you do. Cash locally, absolutely. Outside of that, and carrying a lot of cash around, folks, people will kill you now for $50. And so be careful, and be careful about having cash in the house. Be careful about having money on hand. So I said, well, what if? Well, I'm just saying that you've got people with no scruples. And I'll tell you something. When drug addicts are coming down and they can't get a hit, and they start going into the DTs, and when they start shaking, and when they start, my friend, they will do almost anything just for one more high. Just for one more high. And there are horror stories about what people have done. For one more drink, one more high, one more shoot up, one more dope. Yeah. It's very common now for grandchildren to steal from their grandparents. It's very common. I know grandchildren that broke into their grandparents' homes. I know grandchildren that told others how to break into their grandparents' homes and where it would be at, where the money would be at. They walked straight to it. Yeah. And very few of us don't have someone in the family, whether close or distant, that's not an addict to something. And sadly, addiction overrides scruples. Addiction overrides common sense. Addiction overrides family values and fond memories of how good grandma and grandpa were to them when they were little. When they're addicted, this is what they tell themselves. Well, I know grandma's got money, and I'm going to steal it. But she won't miss it, and I'm going to quit, and I'm going to get a job, and I'll put it back before she ever knows it's gone. That's the kind of lies that addicts tell themselves. One of the problems, is that addicts lie to themselves about everything, and a confirmed addict believes his lies. It's one thing to lie to others, but when you lie to yourself and you start believing the lies you tell yourself, you're done. You're heading to the bottom. There's no other way. There's nowhere else to go. Because an addict will lie to themselves that they're okay and everybody, it's all right, and it's, you know, and they will tell themselves whatever they want to hear. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's the truth. Addicts are bad to lie to themselves. So just so you know, okay. You know, we don't. We are in a situation to where we are. It's a very dangerous thing to have money on you. It's a very dangerous thing to have money in the bank where people can get to it. A lot of fraud, a lot of issues. And I'll tell you another one that comes in now, phishing, what they call phishing. And it says, hey, look at this. And it gives you a URL that you just touch it. And it opens up to something. Maybe it could be pornography. It may be something cute. It may be a dog or a cat or something else. Here's the problem. When you logged into that from your cell phone, they now have your cell phone number, your text number. And if you can get someone's confirmed email address through a phishing email or a confirmed text, a confirmed cell phone number that you know is a good cell phone number, you don't even have to know who it is, just that they answered it. You can sell that number and that email. And there are people who sit home and send thousands of texts and thousands of emails a day just to see if you will answer. And you don't even have to answer. All you got to do is just open and look at what they sent you. And now they have your information. Because your URL, your computer logs in, and they got you. And so now they know it's good, and so now you start getting all this junk. Oh, yeah. You get this junk, and that's why you get so much junk in the mail from opening that mess. Don't open it. Don't open it. I was talking to a federal marshal, a deputy federal marshal the other day, and he was saying, he said, I get emails all the time, phishing emails. They're trying to get me to answer this or answer that, and hey, look at this, or hey, look at that, or hey, open this, or hey, open that, or look what I found. You know, hey bud, look at this, and they use name. They don't know your name, but they'll use a name that could be a comment. Hey bud, or hey friend, or you know whatever. Hey brother. You know, and he said it is their IT department of the federal marshals. And if you open one of those anonymous deals, pow, now you have to go in for 3 days of security training of how not to open emails and how not to open unwanted text, because the federal marshals cannot afford to have their stuff hacked. And so the federal marshals send out phishing emails to see if any of their deputy marshals are gullible enough to open it. And if you open it, you just won yourself 3 days of security training again. They've all had it, but you got to go to class and sit through it again because you opened an unknown mail. The other day, I had someone send an email to the girls in the office and said, hey, this is Preacher. I've opened a new checking account. Please send my check this month to and they give where they wanted it sent to. And they call me. And they sent it to me, and then they come and said, did you open a new checking account? I said, nope. They said, you sent an email. And I opened it, and I said, no, look closely at it. And in the front part of it, it did look like it was me. But in the back part of it, you could tell it wasn't me. But somebody who knew enough to know who I am, who know how to get in touch with the office, tried to get my paycheck this month. Yeah. They did. And let me tell you, that anybody will steal from you is dangerous. And I hate a thief. I mean, I hate a thief. And I realize there are scriptural limitations on what you can do to pay a thief back for what they've done, but I've not always been known to be scriptural. On a good day, I hope I am, but make me mad and I'm liable not to be. And so, I just get upset. And if I thought somebody took advantage of my grandma, took advantage of my little mama, if I thought somebody took advantage of my aunts or somebody, son, the police better find them before I do. And somebody said, well, preacher, well, you too old to fight. Yeah, but I can hire it done. I got a young team, son, that's just full of vim and vinegar. And all I'd have to do is say, sick them. And it would be on. I'm just telling you. And I hate to be like that. I hate to be like that. I do. I hate to be like that. But I'm just telling you, I can't take it. Now, I've always been up for the underdog, but you start messing with the elderly, you start messing with those that ain't got nothing anyway, and those that are simple, and those that are, they struggle anyway to get along in this current society. Then you try to take what little they got. You try to get their Social Security check. Oh, listen, son, I'd get me a stick and beat somebody's brains out. I'm just telling you, I can't take it. And so that's not a threat. I am not threatening anyone. I'm just telling you that I'm carnal. I am. Bible says, be angry and sin not. I got the first part of that verse down. I've got that first part. I got it. It's that last half I'm having trouble with. Be angry. I got that part. It's that last part. And sin not. That I ain't quite so good at. Just saying. Well, I got some boys they're not that strong in the Lord, and they've not been saved that long, and they would take great delight in stomping a mud hole in somebody. Somebody asked me this happened over the holidays. They said, how do you stop these telemarketers and these scammers calling on the phone? I said, I can tell you exactly what to do. Start witnessing to them. The minute they start talking, you start witnessing to them. They will hang up, and they will also take you off the list. See, when you answer it, it's a good number, and they now know it's a good number. That's why they call you again and again and again, try to break you down. But if you will begin witnessing to them, say, well, I don't know how to witness. Just read Scripture. Read John, quote John 3:16 to them. They won't let you finish the verse. Click. I had one fella call. He's from Jamaica. And he was trying to tell me he was from the IRS and all this other stuff. I just told him. I said, the Bible declares that liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And he cussed me. And I said, you better be glad you're in Jamaica, friend. Because up here where I'm from, we don't take lightly to cussings like that. You'd get stomped if you was here face to face. He didn't. He hung up, obviously. But he cussed me. He sure did. He called me trying to scam me, then he cussed me when I tried to witness to him. So anyway, somebody said, well, now, preacher, don't get mad, now, preacher. Let God deal with it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Well, so I remember what Billy Kelly said one time. There's a man, Billy come upon a man trying to molest a girl. And he jumped out of the truck with a knife. Billy was a big man. Billy come out of that truck with a knife and cut the seat of the man's britches as he's jumping the fence. That's how close he got to him. Yeah. And Billy told that story somewhere, and somebody said, well, now, Billy, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. And Billy said, yeah, but that'd be one that God won't have to mess with. That'll just be one less for God to have to mess with. Yeah. Yeah. So, I know. Anyway, just be careful. Well, you can get your information. Now, if you don't think you can get your information, get somebody that, if you're not online and you say, well, I'm not online, they don't have my information. Get your kids, get a niece, nephew to type in your name and watch what happens. I'm not on social media, but you can type in my name. My name comes up everywhere, all over social media. And by the way, I did not run for some office in McDowell County. No, I did not. My name was on signs all over McDowell County, and I'm honored that it wasn't that. It was somebody by the same name, apparently. Yeah, Randy Barton for something. Lord, they wouldn't elect me dog catcher. I mean, why? You know, I know better than that. So, Well, let me a couple of requests here, and I got to go. I've late stayed too long. Let me pray for a missionary coming in from Honduras, 36 hours to travel in to take care of a parent who's had her leg amputated. Remember that, if you will. And then, yeah, appreciate that, and thank you, and Daniel and Mike, and appreciate all the folks coming, and thank you. And then also, good to hear Ronald up in Marshall. Thank you. Appreciate you being with us. And let's see here. Where's my prayer request at, Brianna? What did I do with them? Did you write them down, or did you text them to me? Anyway, thank you. They're over here on the right. Okay. All right, I see them now. All right, I've got some requests here. Pray for a husband that is in the hospital with COVID. You know, it's starting to come back again. I know of 3 cases of COVID last week. Hadn't heard much about COVID, but it's back. Plus, type A flu is back. Also pray for a lady and her daughter, both sick and had to have iron today. And so remember them as you pray, okay? All right. Thank you for being with us. Thank the Lord. Appreciate it. And we've only got 2 more prayer times, drive times on the AM for the season. You know, our time will change to 5:15 sign off on Thursday. Thursday, yeah. And then from that, we will go to, the whole program will be just on FM and internet. All right. And I'll be here part of the time. I'm gone some in December, but I'm here part of the time. So, yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate you. God bless you. And appreciate, again, God's mercy and grace. And appreciate how good God's been. And we sure do love Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us, Lord, when we're not worthy to be forgiven. And thank you, Lord, that but for the grace of God, there go I. Lord, I easily could have been a cheat and a thief and a bum and a drunk and all the other things. But for the matchless grace of God that took me from the guttermost to the uttermost, Lord, I give you glory. Redeem some soul that's nearest hell today. And Lord, have your way. And during this Christmas season, may the star of the Lord Jesus, that bright and morning star, shine brightly in our hearts. We carefully give you the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.